trio, don't forget him.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
A barbershop quartet of us. Hello, welcome to The Big Show. This is the show from the British Tech Network, the network that sees how long it takes for iTunes to find us and throw us out. After last week's show, Christ, we got close. And now we're back with The Big Show. Fantastic panel. We've got Paul Wheatley sitting, trying to resolve issues at his end with broadband. If he makes it, fantastic. It's not looking like he will, on the basis that he tried to dial in with audio only, and it was still showing connecting and a little spinning wheel. So we may be a four-man show, but fear not. It's a fantastic group. Top left, Steve Neighbour, chairman of the London Matters Group. How are you doing, pal?
I'm great, sir. You're sounding quite clear tonight.
Really?
Is there something less between the microphone and your face?
There's less face between my face and the microphone.
It's very clear, less whispery.
Yeah, no, I've I had a bit of a mishap, and I've detached my beard, unfortunately.
The razor went very close to your face many a time, I can see.
Yeah, it did, yes. And I thought, well, actually, no, because I nicked a bit, and I thought, well, it'd be all right. I'll just whip it off, and I'll bet I'll look better. And as soon as I'd finished doing it, hell no.
So it's nothing to do with the fact that. Sorry.
Ewan, the last time I said, I'll just whip it off, I'll look better.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't work out exactly the way I planned, but it still worked out well. So you're talking about your beard.
That's it. Yeah, got it.
You've whipped it off on the nights before Valentine's night.
No, it's got nothing to do with getting lucky, mate.
Really?
Yeah, no, yeah. I can stay up all night. I'm never going to get lucky.
I reckon there's going to get some. We should do some video evidence and see what the big show is before Valentine's night last year.
Dude, you better put it on time lapse then if you're going to do that. Oh, sorry. I thought you
were going to talk about your love life so early in the show.
Yeah, we can put a video up for the next time you have sex. Make sure it's a 1 week time lapse. And I knew I was going to get this. Ewan looks even more like Gary Oldman's Count Dracula now with the hair. Bollocks, Batwinch.
No point.
Bollocks. The sides need a bit of a trim back, I have to admit, but it. Well, no, that makes it worse. Oh, Jesus. That looked all right before.
Anyway, hello, sir. How are you?
I'm all right, mate. I'm okay. Good. What's been happening in Steve World?
Not a lot, really. Just this and that.
Just working.
Getting over January. My birthday in February, which we're looking forward to. And that's
when is it?
It is. End of February, yes.
Which date?
26 is my birthday.
Congratulations, mate. The grand old age of?
I've forgotten. 38, I think. Yeah, 38.
You old fart.
Yes, I know.
Said the really old fart.
Yeah.
Count Chocula, says our bookery. He's going to get kicked in a minute. Next to him, it's Jeff. How you doing, mate?
I'm doing good.
We're going to get lip sync out of you 1 week, mate. There won't be any porn being downloaded, and no one will be upstairs cranking off your bandwidth, and what you say will actually match it with your lips moving.
You can then hope.
Never mind. How are you getting on? Getting ready for Macworld, mate? Getting ready to go beer drinking with me?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it.
You can't do too much prep for that, I'm telling you.
Oh, no, I can do a lot of prep for that.
Yeah. You can never do too much prep.
I should be able to keep up with you. I'm assuming so, because you drink at sea level. I drink at altitude. I'm coming down to sea level, so that gives me an oxygen advantage.
Really?
Yeah.
So do you get more lightheaded more quickly drinking at altitude because the air's thinner?
Right. But since I'm acclimated to the higher altitude, when I go down to sea level, I'm hyper for like a week.
I should totally come out a week early and stay with you in Colorado. Just to get myself match fit.
Right, yeah. It's like training for drinking.
Yeah, I can do that.
That was a great invite for yourself, just to stay with Jeff for a week.
He said yes.
He did.
Jeff, I'll see you on the 20th, mate.
Awesome. I only have one bed. Are you comfortable spooning?
Yeah, absolutely. No problem at all. The only problem I've got is I've got to fly back to Paris for my flight to San Francisco on the 24th, though. So, honest.
Well, then we'll just have to do all our spooning before Paris.
Now, you're talking at Macworld, aren't you?
Yes, I have two presentations at Macworld.
I'm doing two.
Yeah. So one is on wearable technology, and the other is on how you can use the different types of tech that are available today to lose weight and get in shape.
Now, I've got to say, I noticed very clearly there that that title of that workshop was not decent wearable technology, because there's no way on God's earth you're going to fill 45 minutes if you do.
No, actually, I believe it's called Wearable Tech, What's Hot, What's Not. And there will probably be a lot more not.
5 minutes of hot, 40 minutes of not.
That pretty much sums up CES this year.
Now,
Wearable Tech.
I'm supposed to be speaking at Macworld as well.
No kidding. What are you talking?
Are you talking once or twice?
I'm only talking once, unfortunately.
See.
But I'm giving a talk on OS 10 photographers. Maximizing OS 10.
But that's awesome.
They haven't put it up on the calendar yet, though, so I might get canned yet, I suppose. No, I've said it. But no, I've submitted my little outline and my paragraph and my picture and stuff. So. Oh, yeah. I'm really looking forward to it. And last but by no means least, righty boy.
Hello, mate. Are you right?
I'm all right, boy. How's it going there, then? What's been happening?
I'm still bloody ill, mate. But I've been to see the doctor.
And? What's he say you've got? Cholera? Dysentery? Beriberi?
Stressed and run down, but I got in trouble the other week because the missus said, well, you and I had you on the big show the other week, and you go to the doctor because he says so, but not because I say so. So I'm in all sorts of trouble because of that now. So.
Well, in your defence, I do recall that I said go to the doctor, and that evening you told me that you hadn't, so I don't think that is fair.
But I have. I've been.
Yeah, but not because I told you. You ignored me.
I've ignored everyone, but I've been. And they've sorted me out, and I'm a bit better now.
So you just run down?
I'm a bit run down. I'm a bit stressed, and I'm okay. But I'm chilled out. Look at me right now. I'm fine.
So what, has he prescribed amphetamines then or something? Book you up?
I wish. I could do with some.
Beta blockers.
Yeah. I'll take anything right now.
The Week in Tech. What's been going on? All the big tech stories brought by this lot, and we'll see. Who wants to start us off?
Ooh, hands up.
Hands up, hands up, hands up. Oh, no.
I'll give you hands up.
Go on then, right. You start us off, mate. What have you got?
Well, I'm kind of going on a blog post that was put on the official Microsoft blog, where they put out a thing kind of saying to people, they obviously want to get people onto Windows 8. They're not happy with people being on XP anymore. They want to move it forward and all that sort of thing. And obviously, people who read the Microsoft blog are going to be people who probably have upgraded to the latest operating system. So they're kind of encouraging people who read the blog to help their friends and family to help them to upgrade and tell them what they need to do and, you know, how to find out if they can upgrade the system to Windows 8. But the message that came out from it was, if you really want to upgrade to Windows 8, buy a new PC. And yes, that's great. They want to kind of furnish the dying PC market, but it's not really a way to kind of get people onto a new operating system. So there's a lot of there are a lot of things online that people are saying, you know, well, I can't buy a new PC, and my current hardware won't support Windows 8 or Windows 7. And I think they even had an old dear on there. I think she said, you know, I think she's an old retiree, and she said, you know, in the current climate, I think I've got the quote. She said, I can't upgrade to Windows 8 for the foreseeable future. Can you extend the support for a little bit longer? But in Microsoft's defense, it's hard for me to say it, they have been extending it for a long time, and they're extending it for longer still, even with the security updates. But it made me think, and I heard on a show the other day, maybe she should move for Chromebook. And that's a good idea, because a lot of people do things that you could do on a Chromebook. And I'm not going back to the show a couple of weeks ago where Google went down and all that sort of thing. But you could do a lot of things that you do on the internet, Facebook, Twitter, email, all that, on a Chromebook. But it turns out today, PC Pro put out today, you can run Windows desktop apps on a Chromebook using a thing called was it a VMware Horizon DAS. It's DAAS, which is emphasis, desktop as a service.
Emphasis a D apostrophe arse.
It is actually DAAS, isn't it? Yeah. But you can actually run Windows apps using VMware. You can try it for free as well.
But surely the VM has to carry a copy of Windows.
No? Apparently not. No, because you can run it on a tablet as well. You can run it on Android and iOS as well. So I think it's the same way that I forgot the service was called a couple of years ago. We used to be able to run Office on it on an iPad. But if that is a viable option, because they're pushing out to enterprise as well, because they've got like video conferencing packages as well. But if there is a facility and it's being rolled out right now and people are trying it, if you could run your favorite Windows desktop app on a Chromebook and people are looking at the price of buying a new PC and running Windows 8, would it be better to run a Chromebook and have the option of those one or two Microsoft apps that you rely on and save a little bit of money?
Why, how do you spell this DAAS thing?
DAAS. It's from VMware.
DAAS mobile client.
Is DAAS? I'll put it in the chat room there.
Isn't it such a great brand when you really have to spell each letter to get it right?
Well, yeah, I mean, arse is universal, isn't it?
No, but Windows are kind of holding on to the fact that you need Office and you need Publisher and all these sort of things. But I'll put the link in the chat room there. VM Horizon DAAS. Platform for service provider delivers Windows desktop applications as a cloud service to any user anywhere on any device.
Yeah, well, I've got to say, I'm on the iTunes store here just to kind of back you up here, and it says with DAAS mobile client, you can turn your iPad, iPhone, iPod Touch into a fully functioning Windows desktop. Access your DAAS desktop as a service, which is what the DAAS bit stands for. Desktops for anywhere. Connect securely to your virtual desktop. So it's not running it natively then. It's only a virtual access system.
But you could still have those services on the devices a lot cheaper than you could. The issue is you got to buy what's Windows 8? £199 right now for a new license?
Well, I'm confused though, Paul, because according to what it's saying there, it's a remote access software, but you're saying it's not on a Chromebook. You can actually run DAAS and it'll run apps natively.
Well, Chrome have actually released a blog in the story that PC Pro wrote today. Saying that with VMware, you can run it on your Chromebook, which I'll also put in the chat room as well. Saying that you can run, but then the argument is whether you run it natively or remotely, you still get to use those apps on a whole new system that's cheaper than the upgrade to Windows 8.
Right.
So Microsoft's kind of saying, if you can't upgrade from Windows XP, buy a new PC. But there are other options out there. And I'm just thinking, is the option moving to Windows 8? I'm there running Windows 8 right now on my system. It's a great stable operating system. It's great, but I get my copy for free. And you know, that's why I've upgraded. But for the people who, the old dear who kind of says you're a retired old dear, and she said, you know, I can't afford to upgrade from XP. And there's a lot of people who can't afford to upgrade from XP right now. They've got things at work, and they're just going to do simple things like email, Facebook, and all that. And they're going to work under XP, but they're going to be at the kind of the jaws of the kind of, you know, the viruses and the security threats that come through. But the good thing about things, you know, and Chrome have come back, and Google have said, okay, we support this virtual environment for Windows apps, but their operating system is constantly going to be updated. So what? Do you spend £199 on Windows, or do you spend £199 on buying a brand new laptop that's going to be updated constantly by Google?
Now, I'm more than happy to be told that I'm going to be talking out my arse here, but my understanding, if you get an OEM version of Windows 8, you can pay as little as £50 for that, £60.
So, yeah, I mean, the legacy on it's pretty good.
I mean, it does go a fair way back on machines. It won't run brilliantly, but it'll at least run.
Yeah, Well, I'm saying the old dear who's in the post saying, you know, I'm a retiree and I've got an old bit of kit. Do people really want to go through the hassle of upgrading an OS? And from my experience, upgrading from XP to 7 especially if you're going from 32-bit to 64-bit. It won't upgrade fully. You've got to do a clean install, and they're going to lose data and things like that. Do they just go to a simpler system that they can actually just use out of the box? Or because I think this, the point in this blog is they're saying, if you know someone who's on XP and you read this blog, because only people who read the Windows blog are going to be people who have probably upgraded or are proper nerds, but the people on the street aren't really going to understand. So if you could sell a Chromebook and say, yes, you can run Word on it, they're probably going to buy that for 200 quid, aren't they?
You've got to be a real proper tech to realise that you can do this, though. I don't think it's going to appeal to the masses.
Is your mum going to be running it, Steve?
No.
It's the way they sell it, though, isn't it?
Because who's going to do this, though? It's not going to be the Alton Geeks, is it? Oh, it's the Alton Geeks will do it.
Hands up, chat room. Mm-hmm. Who's doing it?
The Alton Geeks will do it. Who else is going to do it?
No, but you go to the point where Microsoft's saying, if you're going to want to upgrade to Windows 8, buy a new PC, and they're going to go into
PC World, maybe,
and they're selling a Chromebook for 200 quid opposed to the 400 quid Windows 8 laptop, what are they going to choose? And they're going to, I do Facebook, I do email, I do Twitter, maybe. 200 quid is better than 400 quid, isn't it? And times are tight as well.
No, I mean, here's an interesting point, though, because I think, Steve, your mum runs Mac, doesn't she?
Now she does, yeah.
So, right. So we need to try and have, because this is non-applicable, obviously, but there's a point from Toby in the chat room saying that it's going to be an absolute screw fest when MS drops support for XP. If your mum was running an XP computer, would you say to her, look, if you're going to carry on running XP, or if you're going to carry on running Windows, you've got to upgrade, or you've got to get something that will run Windows 8, Windows 7? At the very least, you can't stay on XP anymore, Mum. And would this be a viable option then?
Yes, but in the home market, they just buy a new. That's how they buy. They don't really upgrade very often, do they?
No, yeah, the average user doesn't upgrade their operating system. They buy a new computer, and it comes with an operating system.
Yeah.
The interesting thing, though, is the corporate world. We're still running XP. Corporate world.
Well, yeah, I mean,
that's pretty common.
Yeah.
I think that's huge.
Well, I've just been told by August the 9th, April the 9th, if I haven't moved anything off XP, then it dies. So.
What? It just stops working. Your license expires and the terminal doesn't come on.
No, as an organization, we stop supporting it. I've been told by April the 9th, if we have XP machines, they are still on our network. We stop supporting them. That is the deadline.
But haven't you got any proprietary machines that won't run anything more than? Because I mean, you're a medical research facility as well, aren't you? In your unit,
we are.
So there must be proprietary.
We are now running a huge project to find out if we can run those things. If we can run them in Windows 7, and if we can run them in XP mode, we're looking at all those sort of things, and we are looking at 280 machines that we've got to move over to Windows 7. By April the 9th. It's absolute. Well,
that's why you're off sick.
Ewan, have you got any
stress that I'm under at the moment to get them in there? But look at the consumer market. People are looking at what they're going to do with their machines. Chromebooks are coming in like 150 quid now, aren't they?
Mm. Have you got any newsflash type sound effects?
Go, Steve.
That's the one.
You remember the potential crash we had with the Millennium Bug,
right?
I think it should be a similar kind of marketing thing when XP suddenly stops on support and all of these systems. Because somebody said in the chat room, it's made me start thinking about this.
April 8th.
Cash points. Toby Pinder said cash points. There's so many of them that are running XP. It's going to get to a point where the real infrastructure of all these systems that just get forgotten about just end up running on this old stuff. And this is a real, real problem. First world problem.
I think you might be onto something there, mate. Let's sell more computers by causing global panic.
Yeah.
It couldn't possibly go wrong. Exactly.
You need to upgrade because this bug is going to hit you if you've got an XP system, and get you out there and buy a new computer.
Have you seen Zombieland? Well, that was when XP expired.
Yeah, you need to get the Hollywood film industry. You need to do some type of film about what happens when the forgotten computer that runs everything is running XP in 2026, and then suddenly decides that
XP expires.
Yes, but normal people who have computers that aren't technically savvy, they'll get a computer with a virus scanner on it, and it'll be McAfee or Norton or something like that. And when you buy it, it'll have like 30 days. And it's after 30 days, it'll go, well, you've enjoyed it for 30 days, buy a new version.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the computer that runs your heart monitor machine, the computer that runs your pension, the computer that runs your home security system. Those are going to go down the day that XP finishes.
That's the trailer voiceover right there. Right
that
there.
Awesome.
That's it.
Yeah. But people let these security systems go out of date. You know, so many machines are coming to me where they've gone, oh, I've got a load of viruses because your Norton ran out 3 years ago and they never realised. And it's going to happen because people are going to find security.
Your access. Norton ran out 3 years ago.
Oh,
mate, I've been trying to get Norton off a system for 3 years.
But it really happens because these trial versions can. Oh, I got Office with my PC and now I can't run it because your trial ran out after 6 weeks, but they get these security things because the special pieces that come with bloatware, and they run out, and people don't realise because they see a little shield thing in the corner. They go, "Oh, it still protects my PC," and they let it run, and then 6 months later, you're realising that it's not updated anymore because they haven't paid any money. So XP is going to be the same sort of way. But if people are going to upgrade, do they upgrade to a new Windows machine, or are there better alternatives?
The world.
This is why Bill Gates is coming back. He understands the problem, but he's coming back to sort it out. He's going to do like the Steve Jobs, come back and sort out the whole business, because XP is going to fail at some point, and he has to come back and sort it out.
And there you go. Is that why Nokia is going to do an Android phone, is it?
No, that's the second film. See, the first film is the problem is created in terms of the whole world collapses, and then the second one is when Gates shows up as the savior of the whole world, and then sorts it out by bringing out Windows 2012 or 2026.
Oh, you're so we're dead species right now.
Oh man, what are we going to do after XP disappears?
The thing is, XP is bloody good. It is a good, stable operating system. It was developed to the point of, you know, Service Pack 3, you know.
Right, EU.
Service Pack 1. XP is a very stable operating system.
You dewy-eyed dinosaur.
Yeah, but for a lot of the systems we run, it works very well, but we are now having to look beyond that. Windows 8 isn't going to do what we want to do. A lot of the software we run isn't going to run in Windows 7. You know, I've got some Windows 95 machines, you know, because the hardware that's plugged into it still runs.
I've got the graphic for this week's show.
Do
there we go.
Mastodon on the weekend, too.
There you go. What do you think to that?
Oh, shut up.
I've made the movie trailer for your voiceover, Steve. I've made the graphics. Look.
Really?
What do you think?
I can't see. I'm watching an advert at the moment.
Oh, bugger.
Some game.
There you go. Who says I'm not quick in Photoshop? See, there we go. See, that's the way it's going to be.
Go on.
The day after XP.
Yep, that's it.
Right there. Right there. The feed's just caught up.
See, that keeps me awake at night. Not funny.
OMG, you and that was quick.
No, that is good. That's very good.
Well, I didn't actually draw the city, I have to say. I stole that picture from Google Images.
No, you should say, as if Vista never happened. What?
I'll have a Taunton on there before the end of the year. A Taunton, or whatever it is. Tauntaun.
Tintin. Tauntaun.
Yeah.
No, Tintin's a little reporter with a flip thing in the front of his hair and a dog that talks weird. A Tauntaun is a two-legged kangaroo-looking animal with big tusks that smells worse on the inside.
with very warm entrails.
And why That's would right. you want a TomTom on there?
A TomTom, yeah, exactly, with a BlackBerry.
Yeah.
We shall see. I've got another blank canvas here. Look, see, found that one. That's the one.
There we go. The day There's after question. XP. Here's a question for the panel. What will die first in the corporate world? XP or the use of BlackBerries?
Oh, now that could be a race to the bottom, couldn't it?
BlackBerries. Guaranteed.
I'm going to BlackBerries die first.
Yeah.
Can I tell you a very amusing story about BlackBerries and...
Please
and,
do.
...Enterprise. I'm not going to name any names, obviously. I had a user
name who was
a BlackBerry user, very old BlackBerry user, and he went to an airport very recently, and he asked me to order him an iPhone 5S. I said, oh, I was supposed to be about a year ago about an iPhone 5S. He said, yeah, iPhone 5 at the time, sorry. And he said, yeah. Well, I didn't do anything about it. He went to an airport, and he put his phone into the little trays that they do before you go through the little electrical gates, and they dropped it. They dropped it on the floor, and they picked it up, and they held it in the air, and they said, we've got someone's phone here. It looks like a phone for an elderly gentleman.
Oh!
And he went, ah. And he came back to me on Monday, and he went, can I order an iPhone 5S, please? So that's the kind of stigma. And that's just like, you know, that's customs. And that's probably the perception of all users.
But, is that the same in... I just challenged that, though, because isn't BlackBerry down with the kids in the UK? Is that the same in the States, Jeff?
It's down with the kids, but the adults aren't down with it, are they?
It's kind of down with the kids because of BBM. But not so much anymore, because everyone wants an iPhone, and you're really seeing the kids walking around with iPhones everywhere, and everyone has an unlimited texting plan, so it kind of kills the killer feature that kids had with BBM, which is they didn't have to worry about text message caps. So yeah, BlackBerry isn't doing as well with the kids over here as it used to.
Don't ask me why, but I had the reason to rouse an 18-year-old and then separately a female 19-year-old in the last week or so. They were family members. And sending them 35 text messages in a row kind of did the trick after they ignored several phone calls and several emails. I like the fact that we can send ultimate text without a problem.
Cool. We like that too. Now, here's the interesting thing. While you said go to the Windows blog for your story, Paul, I went to the Windows blog and look what I found. I found a dude using a tablet that I've never seen before in my life.
Show me.
Is that? It's not a Surface, is it?
It's
I agree that because of the perspective, it looks a little truncated and looks a bit more like it's portrait than it's landscape. I think it's actually landscape in his hands, and it's longer than that. But
waiting for the feed to catch up.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry about this. But the guy's holding a really thick, chunky, tough book type pad. It didn't look like a.
It's a bit
thick, says Batwinch, which is rich.
Is it an original iPhone?
No, it's really Windows.
And it's a stylus.
With a stylus. But there you go. Is that something new?
My guess is that it's an Android device that's designed for vertical market specifically and isn't something that we'd see mainstream.
That's a Windows.
It's Windows
8 on that, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, it's got Windows 8 on it.
Oh,
yeah.
All right. Well, there you go.
It's of a cricket bat, isn't it?
it does, yeah. It looks like he could hit something for six with it.
Okay, so everything that I said, but change out Android for Windows.
There we go.
Yeah, so my guess is that the airport found some vendor that would give them just ridiculous, stupid pricing on these things. And told them that they're really great for a rugged environment like hanging out near jet engines.
Yeah,
that's such a marketing shot.
Yeah, it's a marketing shot. You know, you blurred people at the back and everything. That's a marketing shot.
Well, if that's photoshopped in, it's done very well. Even I'm impressed with that. And normally I can spot bad Photoshop straight away, so.
I don't know what that is. I've seen a lot of Windows 8 devices, so I don't know what
it is. It doesn't look like a Surface. Is it a ruggerized Surface, says iBookery?
I'll tell you one thing. It pays me to say. We got a Surface in the other week. I bought one for someone, and I was sent up. It was actually quite a nice experience. And we'll go back.
Surface, to, yeah, no.
We said weeks ago that ability to touch the screen is actually quite nice. I did spend the 3 or 4 days afterwards touching screens of iPad, MacBook Airs and things like that. But actually, it was a Surface 2, and it's actually I really quite enjoyed the option of touching the screen. And Windows 8 as a operating system with touchscreen isn't that bad. It's when you put it on a laptop that doesn't have touch, it's crap. It's absolute crap. But when you do it with a touchscreen, it's a really enjoyable experience. And very I did good. Find myself using touchscreen more than I would have done on any other device. So they've won there, but the problem is that they force it to devices with keyboards and mice that don't really work with it. But if you've got the device that has that touchscreen ability, it's brilliant.
Cool. I agree. I think it's an excellent experience. Well, I've had a go.
I noticed the guy that's using it has got something in his pocket.
It's a pair of gloves.
Really?
Yeah.
That is his iPhone.
That wench in the chat room is saying, "Oi, are you calling me stupid?" And then later on she says, "Are you calling me fat?"
What?
And then she says, "Why does he have a yellow arm, the one that's holding it?" Well, that might be the reflection off the yellow jacket he's using, Batwench. So.
Or maybe he has jaundice.
Just saying.
He does have a very yellow arm, though.
Just saying. It's because he's got a very yellow jacket, mate. And it's called reflection. Who's got another story for us then? Steve or Jeff or...
Oh, I have one.
Go for it, Jeff.
Since we've been kind of bagging on Microsoft a little bit, why not keep that up? Microsoft claims that they do not filter search results ever. And yet people had a problem just recently where if they were doing searches in Chinese, didn't matter where they happened to be, their search results were very filtered. So like if you searched for Dalai Lama in the United States and you were using Chinese as your language, you would not see search results for that.
Really?
And yes. And what happened was apparently the search filters that are applied to Bing in China that Microsoft insists aren't happening were unintentionally opened up so that it was worldwide. So anyone searching in Chinese in Bing was getting filtered results, which I think is just awesome. Microsoft is insisting, no. We do not filter Bing search results anywhere. And there you go.
Well, why would they? I see what you mean. So you're saying that they're censoring search results in Chinese just in case it's the Chinese doing it, and they've got a deal with the Chinese that they'll do that.
There you go. Yes,
got you.
And thank you for being clearer than I was. So the search filtering's in place in China all the time, even though Microsoft denies it, and they accidentally flipped a switch so that the filtering for all Chinese searches worldwide was filtered just as it is in China.
So is that not the same way that Google got in trouble in China as well, didn't they? It's not the same sort of thing.
No, well, Yeah, it's a little bit different in that Microsoft is adamantly denying that any of this is happening. But there's proof on the internet outside of China that it was happening. Because, well, people were getting their search results filtered.
So they're doing it. So is this from search results within China or externally?
This was external searches.
Oh, blind.
So, like, if you were in the United States.
Kind of jurisdiction.
Right. So, yeah. So, if you were, say, in the United States and you happen to be, your computer was set for Chinese language. Yeah. And you're doing searches in Chinese, you would get filtered results.
Oh, blimey. In Bing.
In Bing.
Yeah, so is it Baidu, the big search engine in China, isn't it?
Right. But apparently Microsoft really wants to be a big search engine there, and so they are totally playing by China's rules.
Oh, that's bad.
It's the fact that people are using Bing, isn't it, really?
Yeah. Well, yeah, okay, there's a problem right there. I've never been a fan of Bing, and I've really tried to like it, but the search results feel contrived. And
yeah,
I'm just
do you search in Chinese a lot then, Jeff?
Yes. And I'm so pissed off that I can't find my Dalai Lama pictures.
In Chinese.
In Chinese.
Yeah.
The problem I have is I install a lot of PCs, and the first search engine that any search engine that any of any PC I install goes to Bing, and they can't even find their own thing. So one of the first things we install on PCs that are not our network is Security Essentials, and Bing can't even find that. So it's weird they can filter things for Chinese language, but they can't actually filter things for their own actually operating system. And I searched for things like XP Server Pack 3, and the web page comes back and says, I can't find that. So it's just weird that, one, people are using Bing, and two, it's actually not that good in the first place.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, this is catastrophic as a PR failure, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Not good at all.
Doesn't Siri use Bing as the default on iOS?
In iOS 7, it's one of the search options.
Is it the default, though?
I didn't know there was a choice in iOS 7, I have to say, because I haven't used much.
No, it's not that you have a choice in Siri. It's that Siri has a hierarchy of where it's looking for content. And Bing is one of the things.
Right.
One of the search things that it's choosing. Because it's looking to other places as well, like Wolfram Alpha and stuff like that.
Right.
And
is Wolfram Alpha tied into Bing?
No.
Or they Google?
No. Wolfram Alpha is independent, but I'm pretty sure they're independent, but all the big search engines can scour their stuff and feedback results.
Right.
If you ask Google what the best operating system is, it's funny that the top answer seems to say what the alternative options are and that Windows is best if, let me quote this, best hacker-friendly operating system out there, you may say Windows 7. If you type the same question into Bing, what is the best operating system and why? The best operating system for science that really depends on is Windows 7 is the answer that you get when I type as well. I can't believe you're saying that the search results are slightly filtered.
If you're in Chinese.
Well, I'm sure it's worse there.
Wolfram Alpha has no outside investors at the moment.
No.
There you go.
I'm going to ask Wolfram what the best operating system is.
I also type Wolfram with two O's.
Kafu!
Woo! From. alpha.
Hungry like the wool from.
Wool, yeah. Wolf and sheep all combined into wool from. Good story, mate. Good story. Steve's typing, so I'll do mine. My story is James Dyson has betted £5 million on household robots. There's another £3 million coming from matched investments, but it's going to pay for 15 scientists over the next 5 years to look into practical robot solutions for the home. My generation believed the world would be overrun by robots by the year 2014, said Dyson. And instead, it's just run by... it's overrun with Dysons that have faulty motors. So, there we go. You didn't say the last bit. I said that because we had a Dyson and it lasted 13 months and the bastard wouldn't give us a new one. So, it was before the two-year thing. So, I don't like James. I don't like James Dyson. I think he's a tosspot. But I'm sure he speaks very highly of me.
It's not a lot of money, is it?
It's nothing. I looked at that and thought, right, oh, my 24, wow, household robots. Maybe James Dyson will do something worthwhile. Yes, I've pitched up £5 million, which is a lot of money. I'm not saying it's not a lot of money, but...
It's bugger all, really.
I mean, if you want to get significantly ahead of the Roomba, you're going to have to push a bit more in than £5 million, I would have thought.
What did Google pay for Boston Dynamics, which is a robotic company? What do they pay for them?
Oh, I don't know, but I mean, I bet you MIT's way, way, way ahead of anything that James Dyson's going to get with £5 million.
Is it a team of 15?
Team of 15 scientists, including some from Dyson R&D and the Imperial Department of Computing, or the Department of Computing from Imperial College London. I just think that's a woefully. That's a cheap PR stunt, perhaps, but it's sod all use for actually gaining robots.
Yeah, but he's talking about domestic robots, isn't he?
Yeah. So, domestic robots. It doesn't say when they're going to...
We've got Roombas. They clean our floors.
Yeah.
There's a robot that cleans our windows, isn't there?
Is there?
Yeah, apparently so. There is following the story up today, there is a robot that will clean your windows. It will go up and down and clean your windows. But what domestic robots do we need? You know, I'll be more one that fixes dinner and does all that sort of stuff. But apart from cleaning the floor, there is nothing out there, is there? 15 million doesn't really throw anything out there, does it?
It's £5 million is like 25 Dyson vacuums. It's cookery. A little bit more than that. But I fixed your Dyson, says Batwinch. No, you didn't. And we got a Henry. And Bronwyn says, I want my Rosie the robot now.
She was alive, Henry, didn't she?
What robot would you have then? If you've got, you say to them, right, okay, take your £5 million plus 3 million, 8 million quid for the next 5 years. Here's the robot I want at the end. Chat room, feel free to answer as well.
Is it after 9?
Is it after the war?
7 of 9, yeah.
You want 7 of 9?
Yes. I
want a robot that climbs the walls and kills all the spiders. I worked out that in the end it would be a robot that looked like a spider. So my logic is flawed.
I've got to say, I just want to side here, Jerry Ryan, right? Jerry Ryan, I would say, is probably one of the hottest of all of the Star Trek genre women that they've been. I like what's her name as well, Jolene Blaylock. She's very, very good.
She'll do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I mean,
who? Jerry? What?
Jolene Blaylock.
Blaylock.
She was the Vulcan in the Enterprise series.
Yeah, to Paul.
Yeah, but so Jerry Ryan is probably one of the hottest of the Star Trek generation. So I thought when I saw her on Twitter, I'm going to follow her. That'd be great. And all I get is pictures of fluffy dogs. That's it. Oh, look at this cute picture of animals. Here you go. So in folder.
All right. Well, then in that case, I'm going back to, I want R2-D2.
You want R2-D2? You think R2-D2's hot?
It's a hot robot, but R2-D2 can serve everything here for me so I can go out on dates.
You just want the Leia photos from when she was caned up by Jabba the Hutt that he took. See, that's all you want. You want to access the memory banks. You don't actually want an R2.
Yeah. That just kind of goes without saying.
Oh, yeah, Jeff, that's fine. Go on, Steve.
I've got a question for Jeff. On your talk about wearable tech, are you discussing the tech which is known as the Dash? The wireless smart in-ear headphones that's a Kickstarter project at the moment. I've put a link into the chat line.
Let me scroll back in the chat room and grab the link.
I'll stick it in again right now. But okay. These things get me really excited. They are they're way beyond their pledge. They needed 260,000. They've got 834,000. So there's real interest in these things. These are little earphones things that you stick in your ear, which are tiny, with a battery, Bluetooth, playing music. But they also track your movement, your vital statistics, your Bluetooth,
cool.
Secure fit. So it's like a little kind of, what size is it? It's like the size of a 5 pence piece, maybe 10 pence piece goes in your
ear. Oh, it's an earbud.
Earbud, yeah. But it's touch sensitive on the outside, so you can you control it on the outside. It connects with your phone. But the best bit, if you scroll all the way down, 4 gig of internal storage, Bluetooth 4, battery included, accelerometer, mic as well, so you can use it as a talking rather than picking the phone up. Records distance, steps, pace, rotation, turns, airtime, speed, G-force, heart rate variability, whatever that is, oxygen, body temperature, calories burnt. If this thing actually hits the market, this is just, I think it's amazing.
I need to talk to these people before Macworld. Yeah.
Ah.
Thank you for that. I have tagged it so I can go back and do some research and talk to them.
So the early bird is gone. The bird for the headphones itself is $199. The Dash, I'm not sure how that is different. It's $239. And then developer is $299. So they're not ridiculously expensive. In terms of headphones, this is where you're going to go, isn't it?
Now then, do you remember a film called The Proposal?
The what?
The Proposal. No?
Go on.
No.
Ryan Reynolds and Sandra Bullock.
Oh, God, no.
Crap film. Big and awful. But at the start of that film, he's walking along the street and he gets to his apartment and he takes two little tiny earbuds out of his ears and he tosses them onto an inductive charging pad that's in his apartment.
All right.
There you go. There's a picture of him from the film wearing them.
Well, that's prior art. This is the new iPod Shuffle. Something goes in your ear and charges and links to your iPhone.
There you go. I think they're great, Steve. I love them. I'm going to pledge now. What do you get? How much do you have to pledge? You have to put $179 in.
Yeah, you get them in the end of this year.
To get a pair of earphones, but that's all gone.
$79, isn't it, to get a pair?
$179. To buy a pair, and you get a pair with it. EU residents, please add $34 for shipping.
$179
gets you a set of wireless in-ear earphones for the not-so-early birds. Still a great offer of $100 lower than the suggested retail price of $299. And $239 just gets you cheap shipping. Yeah.
German. So there.
I don't get these things.
They're good.
Yeah. Interesting. But there's prior art, see? I just point to Ryan Reynolds' film and say, prior art, steal all your patents, mate. Away you go. I just want a pair of them, don't you? So, Ryan Reynolds is a Cyberman, says iBookery. And someone said, Batwin says, who's Ryan Reynolds? He must have been on Mars, woman. Ryan Reynolds is huge, as they say. There was someone else said something earlier on. I was going to go. Jerry Ryan is a robot. I'm convinced Jerry Ryan was for only ratings, says Bronwyn. Hell yeah.
If you've got movie reviews, where do they go, Ewan?
Where do you what? Oh, if you've got movie reviews, send them to @shiteornot.
Yes, please.
On Twitter. Yes, we've started. We're going to do this. This is going to be great. We're going to start the Shite or Not show. And the Shite or Not show is going to be your movie reviews. It's crowdsourced movie reviews. So you can tweet a full movie review, but you've only got 140 characters. Or you can send us a Vine video at 6 seconds and we'll retweet that. And also, if you send us a Vine video, once a week, we're going to get all the Vine videos together and we're going to push them out on the Shite or Not show, which is going to be a video show of all the Vine reviews from the week of all the films. You can do new films, you can do old films, you can do way old films, you can go right the way back to silent movies if you really want. Harold Lloyd reviews. Don't think many people are going to watch that myself, but never mind. We'll keyword them as well, so you can actually search. So if you think, you know, I want to go and see Gravity at the cinema, and I don't know that George Clooney's a ghost, then
you didn't just ruin that film, did you?
Then you can type in Gravity into the search, and of course it'll select, and you'll get all of the Gravity reviews from Shite or Not. There you go. So @shiteornot, twitter.com/shiteornot.
So the way you can tell that he's a ghost is because all of the tools that he has to pick up on the space station.
Steve's gone. La 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 la. La 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 la.
That was a good plug, eh?
No, I'm doing it because some bastard did it to me. I just
can I put my headphones back on now?
Yeah, you can. I won't tell you that George Clooney's a ghost anymore.
What film have you not seen, Ewan?
I haven't seen Gravity. Someone told me that, and I was just like, oh, right. Thanks,
I just spoil it for the rest of us as well.
Thanks, mate. No, I thought that had gone round on Twitter quite a lot. I thought a lot of people knew that. That's why I wasn't. It's my spoiler alert wasn't much of a spoiler alert because it's been all the way around Twitter for Christ knows how long.
I was going to watch that tomorrow night on my Valentine's night with my wife.
Okay,
it's so sweet.
It's still a nice film, I think. So
yeah, no, I think he's a ghost.
Oh, you said it now. You see, don't spoil it for your missus. Go on, blimey.
Oh, don't worry. If I do, she'll know where it came from.
Oh, I'm in trouble. Shit.
You know it's day in London now.
You should put a warning at the beginning of this podcast.
Contains spoilers.
Yes.
Did you want me to do that before you before we started? You mean not for the general public, just for you?
Yeah. Concerns spoilers about if you've got XP, don't listen to this podcast because it'll make you worry. And also, if you've not watched Gravity,
I do apologise, Steve, because I have to say,
if you're watching Gravity on an XP computer, you're in trouble.
No, I have to say, Steve, I do apologise.
Icing on the cake. Tell them about the crying game.
No.
Death. Tell me.
I see dead people.
What's going on there?
I can toss out that spoiler if you want.
Toss off is no.
Toss out. He said out.
Toss out, not toss off.
No, I do apologise, Steve, because I thought you were on with Gazmaz the other week when the spoiler came out then, so on the big show.
So you attempted to do it before?
No, it's been done before. That's what I'm saying. It wasn't. And I thought you were on that show. I do apologise. There you go.
So Kevin Spacey's unleashed tomorrow night in my house?
Kevin Spacey, why?
Because Netflix are unleashing the new episode or the new series of, what's it called? On Netflix. House of Cards, yeah. Series 2.
Is it?
Tomorrow, yes.
he's got three jacks.
You know he comes to president, don't you? And he's shot in the final scene.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You bastard.
Oh, touche.
And that's how he ends.
Well, yeah, but that's because you've watched the British one.
No, I'm into it, so I've been looking at behind-the-scenes stuff. And it,
so you love your spoilers?
Yeah, well, no, I'm just getting you back.
Okay. I didn't know that, you bastard.
E.T. goes home at the end, all right?
Wait till I tell the wife.
Damn you.
It mirrors the original BBC series from the 1990s when the girl was thrown off the roof. He gets shot in the final scene.
Right.
There you go.
Thanks, mate.
Anyone spoilers?
I'm going to get so many letters of complaint this week. Jesus Christ.
How did we get here anyway?
Shite or Not. There we go. So follow us at Shite or Not on Twitter and send us your 140 character movie reviews and 6 second vines, and we'll make a show out of them. Say what you like. It's going to be completely explicit. We're not worried about it. So you can swear on it if you really want. If it gets your point across even faster, then go for it. I've got to say, actually, some of the reviews that we've had have been rather ingenious. I have to say, very, very good. How to get over an entire film in just 140 characters. Well done. And don't forget as well, when you put "not," as one person did this week, "not" is not that it's a bad film. You're saying it's a good film. Shite is if you think it's a bad film. Okay. We've got a new sponsor. We had them last week, but I cocked up the advert. I read out the wrong things. So I'll do it right this week, I hope. These people are Network Union, the Network Union. They are sponsoring the network. They're providing us with one much needed reduction of costs to the network. So they're going to push in BT Broadband into the property, so all the video shows can be done via BT Broadband, which is great. So they're paying for all of that. But in return, we're going to give them plenty of plugs, because it's kind of like the relationship we've got with UK2. We, you know, they're helping us, so we're helping them, kind of thing. And the special offers that is going to be around for BTN listeners. Who are Network Union? Well, Network Union are, if you like, an agent for BT. They're an authorised business partner. And what that means is, if you want BT service, then you dial up and you get your BT service, and BT will be the person that you pay your bill with. All of the transactions are direct with BT. But what Network Union do is they've got an experience in large company WAN design, and they've got a lot of understanding of how to best manage your account with BT. So they'll help you with things like making sure you've got the best deal, if you like, making sure that you manage your upgrades properly and they can reprice your service. But your contract remains with BT the whole time. Network Unions don't take anything from that. You're not paying a commission to them or anything like that. The price you see with BT is the price that you pay with BT, and that's the end of it. And they're looking to expand into small and medium-sized businesses as well. So if you're even just a one-man band at home, like I am, and you want BT Broadband, then you can get business BT Broadband and you can get it through Network Union. You still contract it with BT, like I say, but Network Union will be the people to help you get the best possible price and help you manage your system when you put it in. They're focused mostly on WAN services, but they'll do everything right the way down to SMEs, all the way up to huge, massive wide-area networks. So give them a shout. Go to BTN, the BritishTechNetwork.com, and you'll click on the sponsors link, and that'll take you to Network Union's ad. Click on their ad. There's a tracking link on that, just so that we know that we sent you. And talk to them about what BT can do for you for broadband, and do it through Network Union. They're a fabulous bunch. They're supporting us. Please support them. We make no money for the podcast, so anything that we can get from people giving us general support is really, really valued. So please go and check them out. Look at the sponsors page and make sure you use our click through. Thanks very much to them. We're really grateful for their support. Steve, your story, mate. Or was that it? The Kickstarter?
I was going to go with the headphones, but I got too excited, so I unleashed it earlier.
Oh, okay, right, okay. You've shot your bolt.
Yeah, sorry.
As it were. That's all right. I've also managed to lose the UK2 logo. How good am I?
Find that, boy.
If only there was a service on the internet that could allow us to search for things.
That could allow us to search for stuff. No, it's okay. It's there. It's just it's not showing up. I don't know why. UK2, please support them as well, because they support us. They pick up all our bandwidth and they provide us with our dedicated servers and all of the domain names and that kind of thing. If you need anything for the net, if you need co-location services or a dedicated server or a shared server or anything like that, even just a simple domain name, then check them out, because they've got great prices. There's a lot of people come to us and say, I wish I'd listened to you, because if I'd have saved and done it now instead of a year ago instead of now, I'd have saved myself an absolute fortune. They've got very good, keen prices. One of the things that you will see on Twitter as well, and it's a heavy feature of UK2, is after-sales service. They are great at after-sales service. You register a critical ticket, you'll probably find your website will just be back up and running within 20 minutes to half an hour. You won't even need to start entering into any conversations with them. They're brilliant. So please check them out. They support us again, so please support them. Sponsors page, click on the link. And there's offer codes as well. This time you're going to get an awful big reduction on your service with them. So check them out. Right, and it's time for the cool thing. Start us off, Mr. Neighbour.
My cool thing is boring.
It's, that's it, mate. Build it up, build it up.
It's more of a comparison thing.
Go on.
I can't really show. It's to do with flying. Virgin Atlantic flying app versus the British Airways flying app. Which one is better, do you think?
Well, the hippie in me says Virgin. But
anyone
no.
else? Virgin. The British Airways one is by far substantially better. Because we're doing some flying at the moment in work. And the Virgin now is rubbish. It's like, it's not even Retina. It doesn't even show you what flight's coming up. I mean, look at it. It's old-fashioned. I was really disappointed, actually.
Oh, dear. You'd have expected more from Virgin.
You would have.
The hippie airline.
So you go to flights, and all you can have is arrival, depart. So you want to book. You want to fly. So I want to know, I'm going from here to here, what are the flights? If you go to flights, it says arrivals, departures, airborne flights, and schedules. I don't want to look at schedule. I don't want to look at the whole kind of schedule where somebody's flying from and to. So, yes, between Virgin Atlantic and British Airways, which is the better flying app, then British Airways is a lot better. There you go. Sorry, it's a bit rubbish, but that's my review.
The British Airways one is free in iTunes, but did you expect otherwise? And it seems to show that you can only hold it portrait, though? Is that right?
Yeah, they both do port. I think they're both portrait. So
they're phone predominantly then.
Yeah, they are phone. Yeah. At least the BA one, you can easily see. Oh, on flights, you can easily check what the flights are, and it tells you immediately what the different flight prices are to the different places.
There's a review here from Jezza Bean, and it says, "Not too bad. It's nearly good."
What's that? One?
No, the BA one. It says 3 stars for me. It's pretty simple. It's a simple application. It actually works. There you go.
I was shocked at the Virgin one. I thought it was so bad. Reviews like for the
British Airways ones have got 3 stars and 5 stars. It's only had 2 written apps reviews. So there we go.
Yeah, yeah. It's not a huge kind of traffic thing.
No. Good pick.
Sorry, that's me.
No. Jeffrey, what have you got?
All right. So I have something that you and I'm really good at finding things for you to spend money on. So I'm keeping up with that. All right. Today I'm going with a laptop bag. This one. It's from Cocoon, and it's called the Slim. So really thin. And inside, it has padded pockets, so you can hold like a up to a 15-inch laptop and an extra storage. What makes it really kick-ass, though, is the fact that since it's from Cocoon, it also has a built-in Grid-It.
Ah, so, we've had the Grid-It before, thanks to Kelly.
Yeah, and here you go. So totally built into the bag. And it has the rubberized reversed zippers so that it's more water repellent. Nicely padded back and padded shoulder straps. Very comfortable to wear. I've been using this for a couple weeks now, and
it's thin. Yeah,
it's surprisingly thin. And all the stuff that's in here, I was carrying in a courier bag, and it felt heavier in the courier bag than it does in the Cocoon Slim.
If you'd like one of these, stiff shit, it's sold out.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, you can't get this for love nor money. It's gone, and there won't be any until the 15th of April.
If you go into an Apple store, they have them on the shelves.
Ah, okay.
and iBookery wants to know laptop size maximum up to a 15-inch laptop.
Steve, is that you taking off with your app by any chance?
No, not yet, mate. No.
Oh, okay.
sorry.
No, it's sold out. So you need to go to an app store, an Apple store, and try and pick one up if you possibly can. But you could be out of luck.
Yeah, the Apple stores that I've been in recently. So yes, I know it's a small subset because they're all in the Denver and Boulder area. They all had the bag in stock.
Bronwyn has put a link into Amazon.com, and there's one in there. But that's up to a 17-inch, not the 15-inch, which is the one that Jeffrey's got. And it looks different, I have to say. It looks significantly different.
The 17-inch, I believe, is not the Slim. It's a different model.
Yeah.
And that one, as I recall, it has a cool feature where you can wear it as a backpack. But if you grab the handle on the top, the backpack straps slide up and inside, and it becomes a shoulder strap.
Oh, so, very good.
Yeah, it's a cool feature.
Very good. It looks like you're plain out of luck if you want one. Bad luck.
Well, then come to Macworld, hang out with me, and you can see one. Assuming I actually bring it to Macworld.
AppleStore.com have got one in, apparently, as well. Thanks to Bronwyn. Yeah, it's really good. Risey, what have you got?
Well, as you may understand, sir, Minecraft is a bit of a thing with the kids, isn't it?
It's down with the kids.
Down with the kids. I had an inherent fear of being that dad who didn't understand what their kids were playing on the computer, same way my dad did when I was young. And I'm now becoming that dad who doesn't understand what the kids are doing. I now have the Minecraft Beginner's Guide.
Oh, Ellis has got that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Official Mojang Beginner's Guide. My daughter bought these. This has been a great book to tell you what to do. I'm sitting there going, what's that? I have no idea what you're doing. And she's playing with redstone and God knows what. But these books are great. This beginner guide for all dads who want to get into what the kids are doing. Read this book. It tells you what's going on. They're redstone books. They bring out other things for all the elements in Minecraft. She left her other book at school, so she's really upset that she left it at school. But if you're a parent and your kid's in Minecraft, just get into it with them because it's amazing. Build a server or just play with them on the Xbox or on your iPad because it's just they're learning so much from it. I didn't get it to start with. I think you and you're playing it with your kids, aren't you?
Yeah, I'll show you my castle afterwards, and I'll show you my redstone light system.
Yeah, I think for the new year 2014, my daughter made a redstone 2014 explosion. So she did like 2014 built in redstone, and she built all together the controlled explosion. Amazing. So I'm reading these books, but at the moment these are W.H. Smith. It's buy one get one half price. They're $7.99 each, but you can buy one get one half price at the moment. And they're going to release more and more books. But if you really want to read up what it's about and what the kids really get into, and don't want to get left behind, read these books because I've done this beginner's guide. And
you got to play Minecraft.
It's feels it. People say to me, what's Minecraft? It's Lego for kids, but it's online. That's the only way I can say it. But it's so much more, isn't it? They're learning physics and all that sort of thing as well, aren't they?
Yes and no, because you can put a block down and then take it away and the thing still stays up. So that's kind of a not physics. Magic but physics. Yeah.
No.
I have to bail.
But all right, man. Thank you very much.
So, always a blast. I will see you later.
So, just one of the cool things. Here you go. This is my castle that I built, and I've got a town as well, and I'm building a tenement building office block thing. But so if you go over here, look. Me and Ellis are into redstone.
Yeah.
But There you go. And you can switch off all the lights in the castle.
That's it.
I've got no idea what you are talking about.
Right. And here you go. Watch. I'll switch it back on. And all the lights come on around the whole castle.
So glowstones connected with redstone?
No, it's redstone, and there's sticky pistons that shove a piece of redstone in and out of contact. So
do I sound like I know what I'm talking about now?
You sound great, mate, yeah. And yes. Redstone is brilliant stuff. Brilliant stuff. It's effectively
buy this book.
You can teach them basic logic. You can teach them AND circuits and OR circuits.
Yeah.
And you can make stuff do that kind of thing. It's brilliant.
That's it. But I've now bought the Xbox version, the PE version, and the PC version. I bought every single bloody version now.
There you go. You've got to play Minecraft, Steve, because otherwise Scarlett will get into it and that'll be it. You'll be lost. You won't know what you're talking about.
I'm building the server at the moment, and so we can do stuff on it. And it is the most fun you can have, really, virtually, isn't it?
Yeah. The chat room's gone off on one. It's calling me a sad git. So.
It's not sad. If you've got kids and you can come home and they go, oh, we've been building a castle together, Dad, and I've added the kitchen, and I've put my daughter says, I've put a working loo in, and I've got a working cooker. They're so proud of it. It's
home building. It's good. It's good. It's good.
Yeah, she's like, I can take fuel and I can put this and put this food in it. I can cook it. It's like they really enjoy it. And it's
Steve's just sighed. He's bored, mate. He's bored. But start. It's good. It's good. It's good. Right, yeah. My cool thing is in this little box. This is a Tough Tech Duo. And in this box, there is a wee tiny drive enclosure. Okay. And this drive enclosure holds two 2.5 drives. So there we go. And I've stuck in two 1 terabyte SSDs. And it fair flies, I can tell you. I've popped that one off. Oh, no, that's not going to work. There we go. And
hello.
This is a FireWire 800 version. This was sent for review by a guy called Chris, who is part of or who owns CHNO Technologies or chno.co.uk. Yeah.
Well, that's 3.5-inch drives.
They're 2.5-inch drives.
Two, yeah.
You can do SATA out to USB, or you can do FireWire 800. There's a version of this that comes out, which is USB 3 as well. You can only RAID the two drives together, so you can either have RAID 1 or RAID 0. There's no choice other than that. But it's a little hard drive that you can take around, and like it says, it's a Tough Tech system. It really is tough. There's a guy on Chris's blog who got into this, who's the sports photographer for one of the newspapers. I think it's The Mirror. And he got into this thing, and he absolutely adores it, takes it everywhere. But it's really tiny. It's just big enough for the 2.5 drives. It doesn't take up any space in your bag hardly, and you get a fabulous little wallet with it here that you can protect it with. Oh. And it's brilliant. Now, that's 280 quid's worth of drive enclosure without the drives. However, we have an offer. At the moment, you can get that for 234 quid if you go to chno.co.uk/shop. So Chris has very kindly, for BTN listeners only, has offered a discount. And if you type in the offer code BTNFEB14, all one word, BTNFEB14, then at chno.co.uk, you can get that for £40 off.
Oh, there you go. Cost me money now.
Yeah, it's not one of the cheapest cool things that we ever have, but it is brilliant. It's a fantastic little drive. I've only had it for a couple of days and I already love it.
Is that mirrored RAID, is it?
It's RAID 1 or RAID 0, so you can either set it as a mirrored RAID or you can just have it as a straight rated drive.
Money.
There you go.
It's amazing, isn't it? Those things used to be absolutely massive, whereas now they're tiny, tiny, tiny.
Yeah. And so you can get it at FireWire 800 or you can get it at USB 3. And it's got a SATA out as well, so it's a USB cable.
Yeah,
Well worth the money.
Am I sad? Is that sexy?
No, it is sexy. It's a really cool little thing. And I mean, I carry around a 3 terabyte 3.5 drive with me, and it's bloody huge. And I don't really need all of that. I can get away with 2 terabytes, and I can get away with them on this. And it's SSD as well, so you get the lightning speed of the SSD linked with the decent transfer rates of the FireWire stuff, and yeah, absolutely laughing. Thank you, Chris, for sending it through. I shall post a review soon when I've had a little bit longer to play with it, but get your money off. chno.co.uk/shop. Offer is BTNFEB14. There you go. The FireWire 800 is bus powered as well. I didn't realise that because it's got a DC in, but the FireWire 800 is bus powered, so you don't even need to carry an adapter or anything with you. Your lappy will power it. I hadn't even realised that. I've been plugging it in. What an arse.
Flipping genius.
What an arse. Thanks, mate. It's the sun, not the mirror. Shit, got that wrong. Will it raid? It only raids, Musky Mouse. It only raids. It's got to be raid 1 or raid 0.
Raid is the only way.
Yeah, it raids the way. chno.co.uk/shop. Offer code BTNFEB14. Thank you, Chris. I shall stick a review up soon. Where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Neighbour?
Steve Neighbour, NAYBOUR, at Twitter, and also at the Mac User Group, the London Mac User Group, the one and only Mac User Group. And I was told by an American colleague that the American teams were talking about the London Mac User Group quite a few in the groups over there, because we seem to be the only group that's actually surviving these days and actually growing. So, come down to the Old Explorer. We're there every month. We try and survive. You were there this week. You're there most weeks.
I do all right. Yeah, I do all right. Yeah, coincides with work quite nicely.
Yeah. And I'm sure there'll be some events. It's always worth coming down for an event.
Yeah, there's got to be an event coming up. March, surely, something.
Surely. We're going to try and do something quite big for the iWatch. I'm quite excited about that.
Not so sure. But we'll have
to. Yeah, that's where you can find me.
Yeah, come down. Old Explorer Pub, just off Oxford Circus. Really good night. Lots of nice people. Loads of question and answers as well if you've got any trouble with your Mac or something like that. If you're new to Mac, it's brilliant for that.
And we are going to go a bit more video kind of nationwide this coming year too.
Brilliant, great idea. You can get Jeff at the Mac Observer. He's on loads of podcasts as well. He's a podcast whore. And you can get him at JGamut on Twitter as well. So give him a go. Righty, where are you, mate?
Paul's on Twitter, and you would normally find me on BritCentNetwork.com. You might think I'm being a bit quiet, but doing some really mental things right now, and you knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, we got something special happening soon. It's special.
Super special.
Very special, and Righty Boy here was the instigator of it all. And when it comes up, you'll know. Fantastic. Thanks, mate. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter, EWANRANKIN. And we'll be back next week with the big show as normal. I think we're going to be on Thursday night, so join in, 8 o'clock, and we'll have loads of fun. Hopefully, Wheaters has got his broadband sorted, and we can all listen to his tales of woe.
Bless him.
See you next week. Thanks for listening. I ain't not having a beard.